Good group of folks here today, amen?
Amen.
I think we're rivaling our attendance that was folks that were here on Resurrection Sunday. Good to see you all here today. And again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. For those of you here in the auditorium, God put that special together to go with my message today. I did not plan that, but we're talking about little children.
Amen.
And as you see the word little child in this passage, I want you to know that's the example. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit this morning. This is not an easy passage. And this is not an easy message to preach. It's appropriate for Mother's Day, but it's a little bit darker than I would like. It's just not a happy subject. And the subject is the offense of children. And I'll read you the passage here in just a minute. I want you to remember something. First of all, we understand the Bible is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. What does that mean? God did not write the Bible thinking that no one could understand it. No, to the contrary, God wrote the Bible to us expecting us to understand it. And then He also tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide us and cause us to understand the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit can teach us. When you read the Bible, if you read a passage and you don't know what it means, ask God to show you. Over the years, sometimes I'll study for a message, and this week is perhaps an example, and I'll say, Lord, I have no idea what to do with this passage. And I can get frustrated because I like to get the job done and move on. I'm not a patient person, and I want to get the job done, and I'll read the passage and make notes and all the rest, and still not know how to preach it. And I felt that way, still kind of feel that way about this passage. But God put this in the Bible intending for us to understand it and to believe it and to live by it. Now, sometimes we'll read a passage in the Bible and we'll, sadly, not a good thing to do, we'll say to ourselves, well, that doesn't really apply to me. Or sometimes we'll read a passage in the Bible and we'll say, oh, I know that, but there's an escape clause somewhere else. And you'll see what I'm talking about in this passage, because what this passage does is it declares that there's going to be tremendous punishment for those that offend children. And it breaks my heart. I've told you many times, I think you'd agree with me, I do not like to see anybody suffer. I don't like to see animals suffer. I don't like to see old people suffer. I especially don't like to see children suffer. It breaks my heart when I see somebody be cruel or unnecessarily angry with a child. If I keep talking, we're going to fill the whole building up because folks are still coming in. Amen? This is great. A long introduction fills the auditorium. No, but folks, if you think it bothers you when children suffer, it grieves God's heart when children suffer, and God sees it. And whoever does whatever they do in what they think is a secret, private place, and they think nobody knows, God knows.
Amen.
Hear what I'm about to say, and think about this for a minute. If you are a born again Christian, if you have truly repented of your sin and asked Jesus Christ to save you, you ought to have a vigorous, healthy fear of offending God. You ought to have an opinion of sin, that sin is not something to play with, but rather that sin is dangerous. You heard this story a couple of weeks ago. We were walking on the trail over there at night. My wife and I were walking down the trail at night, and we came across a rattlesnake. I wanted to toy with the snake a little bit. My wife was not amused because she realizes rattlesnakes are dangerous. And her idea was get as far away from the snake as you can. And I wanted to take pictures. And so we have a couple of pictures of the snake, and that proves how foolish I am. And then we left, which proves how wise she is. When you come across sin, you got to be afraid of it. It will bite you. This is not just a little illustration. We got to have a healthy fear of offending God. If you are saved, I think you have that fear. It can be muted sometimes, But what I'm trying to say to you is, this passage is going to declare judgment on those that offend children. And hear me carefully. I believe a person capable of committing the kind of offenses that are talked about here is a person that has not yet received Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
Now that's complicated. That's complicated because someone says, well, I know Jesus can, he can save us from all sin. Amen?
Amen.
Now we've heard stories of serial killers perhaps that receive Christ as their Savior. Can Jesus save a murderer? Yes. Can he save someone that has offended a child? Yes. But do not take anything away from this passage. This is a very serious statement that he makes. Those that are offensive to children are going to be punished. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read Matthew chapter 18. We've already seen the first few verses in a prior message, but I'm going to begin in verse 6 and read down through verse 14. Pay attention to the word little ones. As we read along here, you'll see that three times. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh.
Amen.
Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and go into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we can assemble here. Thank you for the good group of folks that came out today. It's an encouragement to our heart to see folks that want to come here to worship you. And Father, I pray we could worship you in spirit and in truth, as the Bible tells us in John. Lord, this morning, my mind and the thoughts on my mind are not what matter. What matters is what you have to say and what you have already said from this passage. And I pray that you would give just a special direction, a providence that would come from you that would allow us to look at the things in this passage and understand them and to realize how serious they are and then to live by them. Lord, we're not here to pass judgment on others that have sinned, but we're here to receive caution from you. And Lord, I'd pray that nobody that will hear this message, especially the folks in this room, would ever in their wildest dreams consider doing any of the horrible sins that are described here. God, we pray that you'd bless throughout this time we're with you and have your will. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. That phrase, little ones, that you see three times in this passage, it's really more a piece of trivia than anything of great use, but the Greek word is the word micro. It's the same place where we get microcomputer or microchip or whatever. It's something that's little, something that's small, particularly describing age. I do believe that when the Lord, and you know that he was talking to these disciples about children, and he had taken a child and set him in the midst of them, that for the sake of that illustration, I do not believe it was a teenager. I don't think Bronson would have fit the bill. Amen. Bronson's just too close to being that adult man. He doesn't portray the weakness that perhaps this passage needs. I think the young lady that sang this special is a good example of a little child. And even her two brothers who are a bit younger, maybe probably just about Ethan almost, but not quite. He's a little bit bigger than that, maybe, but perhaps. But the little child that is being talked about here is someone who's weak. Someone who couldn't defend themselves against an adult. Someone who couldn't defend themselves physically or, for that matter, mentally or emotionally against an adult. Someone that would not be able to do anything to retaliate if they were injured. Someone who's helpless. And folks, God cares for the helpless. He cares, if you read the Psalms and the Proverbs, He cares for the fatherless, and He's a special guard and guide for those that cannot defend themselves. And yet today, as you live in this wicked world, is it not true that every single day, if you were to read the news, and I'm telling you, I'm just about to stop doing that, I can't take much more, but every time you read the news, you read of some person who has offended a child. Of not just a person, but perhaps someone, not perhaps, it's not unusual to read an account of someone who claims to be a pastor or a priest or in the ministry who has, and I'm just using the word offend, which is the word, I'll explain it to you in a minute, the word the passage uses, but someone in one of those categories that has injured, offended a little child. I'm sorry to tell you, I could stand right here and for the next 10 minutes I could tell you story after story after story of situations that I have been involved with. A man that, for example, was a member of a church where I was the pastor who was convicted in a military court and sent to prison for 34 years for offending his, I think it was, 3-year-old daughter. A pastor who in Maryland had been guilty of crimes against children, and too many. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. But I want you to understand, we need to have a healthy fear of sin. Amen. You need to understand, sin has consequences. Someone says, oh, you know, I prayed a prayer, I'm saved, I can sin all I want. If you think you can sin all you want, you're not saved.
That's right. Amen.
If you have an attitude towards God, which is, it doesn't really matter what God wants or what God thinks, I can do what I want to do. I don't believe the Holy Spirit lives in your heart. Now you can come after me with that if you want to. But when you hear what this passage has to say, you understand something. There is a danger of judgment for this sin, and it ought to scare us enough that we should not ever consider doing something like this. And then let me add to that, I think you would agree with me, if you're saved, you find the idea of offending a child to be so disgusting you wouldn't consider it. Would you agree with me? Amen? I'm not going to hurt a child. I'm not going to do something, especially to gratify some wicked appetite. I'm not going to injure a little child like just sang this song for us. That is disgusting to me. It is beyond imagining. Now, realize this, the flesh is capable of great wickedness. You want to know how wicked the flesh can be? Read the news. But when Jesus Christ comes into your heart, He changes our appetites. That doesn't mean you're going to stop sinning. And that doesn't mean that there's going to never be a temptation that you're going to give in to. There's never going to be something you're going to do that's not right. But when you got saved, your attitude towards sin should have got changed. And I'm especially concerned for young people. I'm not talking about little ones. I'm talking about teenagers. Because I come across a number of teenagers, and I've been a youth pastor for a number of years and worked with young people, ran a school in Maryland of hundreds of children. And I come across young people, and they do not seem to have any fear of sin, but they profess salvation. I think salvation undoubtedly changes your attitude towards sin. And if you're here today and you're a young person and you just think you can live any way you want, you need to reexamine yourself. If you're here and you're anybody and you do not have a fear of sin, you need to get with the Lord and find out what's going on. Let me look at an outline with you here. I want you to understand what some words mean. We've already seen one of them. The phrase little ones, we saw that in verses 6, 10, and 14. Comes from that Greek word mikros, where we get the word micro, the prefix micro. It refers to size or age in this case. It means young children, not particularly teenagers, but young children. It certainly applies to infants, toddlers, preteens. From verse 2, we know that it was a child old enough, apparently, if you look at Matthew 18, 2, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. Now, I suspect this was a child old enough to at least be out running around the street playing with some friends, maybe. Sadly, in our day, the world has become so wicked. Don't let your children run around in the streets and play without knowing exactly where they are all the time. Because some wicked person, too many times, we've seen, heard too many stories of a wicked person coming and taking them away, and don't even want to go there. You know what I'm talking about. But it wasn't an infant, obviously, and it wasn't a little child that couldn't walk. It was a child old enough that they were out in the street doing whatever they were doing, and Jesus called the child over and set him in the midst of them and used that child as an example. So that's the idea of a little one. So one that's weak, one that can't defend themselves, but one old enough to get around a little bit. Maybe an 8-year-old, for example. Now, the word offend is also an interesting word, and I'm just giving you these in advance, and then we'll hit this and get it done. Look at verse 6, if you will, please. He says, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones." He says in verse 8, "Wherefore, if the hand or thy foot offend thee." Verse 9, there's that word offend again, and it's even in verse 7 a couple of times. That's also an interesting word. It comes from the Greek word scandal. Scandalize or to cause a scandal. It means that it is to cause a person to begin to distrust or to desert authority. It can also be to injure, to please, to make angry, to offend, to be incivil towards, even through harsh language. I'm getting all these from Webster's Dictionary. To cause to fall or to stumble. There's one particular definition which is really valuable. To cause a person to begin to distrust authority that they ought to obey. And I know for a fact that there are children who have been offended, and as a result of that, they no longer respect authority. And we'll just leave it at that. I think you understand what I'm talking about. We're going to see a word in a minute, the word despise in verse 10. I'll tell you about that when we get there. But there's one more word I want to tell you about, and it's the word woe. You see the word woe in verse 7 a couple of times. He says, "Woe unto the world," and then he says, "But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." That is an interesting word. The Greek word is roughly pronounced ou-a-e, and you get the idea. It's a verbal expression of suffering or grief. Folks, don't explain away what God is saying. There is going to be suffering and grief for those that offend children. Amen. And it's not, when God says it's going to be suffering and grief, God knows what he's talking about. So three cautions that we see here in the passage. They're very easy to see when you look at what I'm showing you here. The first one is in verse 6. He says, "Whoso shall offend one of these little ones." Do not offend them. Now, if you look at verse 6, he goes on and he says, "It were better for him that offends a little one that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea." A slow, painful, horrible, inescapable death would be preferable to what God will do to you if you offend a child. Would you agree with me? It's right there. Amen? You say, well, maybe somebody would get away with it. I don't think so. I don't think so. Say, well, could someone like that be saved? Let's just set that aside for a minute. In the first place, obviously they could get saved. Would they get saved? I don't know. But taking it face value, you don't want to offend a child. You don't want to do something to hurt a child that is defenseless. You don't want to offend a child. The individual guilty of this is going to be judged by God in a way that's more terrible than what we would imagine in this slow, painful death. And then it's interesting what he says in verse 8 and verse 9. He expresses in verse 7 that woe will come to that man that offends that child. But in verse 8 he says, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. He says in verse 9, if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. And then in both verses he says it would be better to go through that horrible suffering than to spend eternity in hell. Folks, if you didn't believe hell's everlasting fire, take it up with Jesus. He does.
Amen.
He says in verse 9, to be cast into everlasting fire. He says in verse 8, at the end of the verse, to be cast into everlasting fire. In verse 9, he says at the end of the verse, to be cast into hell fire. Folks, hell is an eternal fire. It is not annihilation. It is a place where the Bible says the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and the person that goes to hell will be there forever. And my phrase, but I believe it, hell is especially hot for those that offend children.
Amen.
And I believe, once again, and I don't want to say this too many times, but the person capable of such a sin has yet to receive Christ as their Savior. God's serious about this.
Amen.
We ought to be serious about it. Amen?
Amen.
Some folks would say, well, I couldn't help it. You know, it was an urge or it was something I couldn't help. God says, here's what you need to do. If you think you have an excuse, if you think you can't control your hand, then cut it off. If you think you can't control what you look at, and if you think about those two things, what we see and what we do are the focus here. If you think you can't control what you look at in regard to offending children, then you need to cut your eye out. That's how extreme, how serious God is about this. There's no excuse. Oh, I couldn't help it, somebody says. Yeah, you could. You could have pulled your eye out.
Amen.
Oh, I couldn't help it, somebody says. Yeah, you could have cut your hand off. You'd be better off cutting your hand off than spending eternity in hell.
Amen.
That's how serious God is about this sin. Now, sins will send you to hell. Amen? The Bible says liars have their place in the lake of fire. I've met people. I've had some people I was acquainted with when I was younger, and they just lied all the time. They'd rather lie than tell the truth. Folks, lying is a sin that will send you to hell, just as is stealing or just as is murder. But there is an especially serious type of judgment for those that offend children. And please take it seriously. You say, well, Pastor, I haven't got to worry about this. You need to understand it. It's in the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And secondly, I'm glad you don't, because if you're saved, I don't think you're going to commit these kind of offenses, but you need to be aware of what's going on around you, and that's why the passage is here. And by the way, the Lord's teaching his disciples as he gives this message. Everlasting fire awaits those who offend children. Then look at verse 10. There's a second caution. Don't offend those children. Do not injure them. Do not cause them to disrespect authority. Do not wound them or hurt them in any way. And then look at verse 10. This is a kind of a play on words here. He says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Okay, so the action is probably what's most described by offending, but despising is how we think about children. Now, I can tell you around here, and we'll finish with this thought here in just a minute, but around here, children mean a lot to us, don't they?
Amen.
I hope we, over the course of time, see more children in our church, and I would trust that we would be able to minister to them, but we have a bus that we take out, and we pick up children, and we have a vacation Bible school every summer, and we reach out to children, and we have people in this auditorium and people in our church who couldn't be here today, and they specialize in ministering to children. And we've already seen in a prior message, when you minister to a child, you're ministering to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The way you treat children is the way you treat Jesus. Now, look what he says in verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. I promise to tell you more about that word despise. It's an interesting word. It doesn't just mean to find them disgusting or there's another definition of despise that's really good if you think about it. And what it means is to think little, to think something is insignificant, to think something is unimportant, to think something is not valuable. That's what the word despise means. And so what he's saying here, in a play on words, is don't think little of little children.
Amen.
You say, well, how could I do that, Pastor? I'll tell you one way, and it kind of grieves me to tell it because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in churches. I've seen it happen in Christian schools. But sometimes we as adults will treat a child with disrespect, lose our temper with them, say something angry to them. I hate to even admit this. I've heard teachers and heard of teachers calling children names. And you would never do that with another adult. You would know if you said something like that to an adult, there'd be a price to pay. But since it's a child, somebody says, I can say things to them and they can't do anything about it. That's despising children. Be very careful how you treat children. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, let's turn that around and be happy here for a minute. Don't you love Vacation Bible School? I'm looking out here at this auditorium and all these chairs, and I'm picturing, and it'll happen this summer, probably not in June like we had planned. We'll wait till it gets really hot in July. Amen? And you haven't lived until you've ridden our bus when it's 120 degrees outside, and you're running around at 4:45 in the evening picking up children. Brother Gonzalez is an expert at that, and some others of you have done that. Brother Mark Hall's driven the bus, and we go out there and we pick up those children, we bring them over here, and we fill this place up with children and have a good time. Amen?
Amen.
And then we teach them the gospel. And then some of them get saved. That's the way to treat a child. Amen?
Amen.
This, don't think of this as a corny statement. I'm serious as I can be. Love them like Jesus loves them. Amen?
Amen.
He died for that child just like he died for you.
Yes.
He paid the same price for that child he paid for you. That child's soul is just as important to Jesus as the most famous, wealthy, important adult that ever got saved. That little girl that sang that song a while ago means just as much to Jesus, if not more, I might say that, than anybody else here. Amen? If they're that important to him, they should be that important to us. Now, look what he says. I love this verse. Look at verse 10. He says, don't think little of them. Don't think they're insignificant. Don't think that you can do what you want because they can't defend themselves. He says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. This is good. Listen to this. For I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, so you know he's telling the truth. Amen. Plus, it's the word of God. He says, in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. If you believe that verse, say amen.
Amen.
If you understand that verse, come up here and help me a little bit. No, it's pretty clear, isn't it? There's an angel, and that angel is somehow. It says there. That's a possessive statement. It says there, angels. Somehow there is an angel dedicated to those children, and he has God's continual attention. When I was a little boy, I remember in our house there was a painting, and I can't recall where it was. I think it was in my bedroom, and it was a picture of a little child. And he's walking across a bridge, and you can see in the painting that the bridge is broken. That the bridge is, it's a little, you know, 8 foot, 10 foot long bridge, but in the middle, the bridge is broken. There's a hole there. The little child's walking along, and then above the child, there's an angel looking. I do not know how to describe what we call a guardian angel, but I know they're real.
Amen.
And they've got God's attention. Which means that child has God's attention. Which means nobody, whoever they are, priest or pastor or person, nobody ever offended a child and God didn't know about it. Their angel constantly has God's attention. They behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Do not despise children. I can assure you, we know too many stories of people that have taken advantage of children, and I'm telling you, God knows about it. He's serious about it. If you are capable of that, you need to incapacitate yourself somehow. And my suggestion would be get saved. That'd be about the best way to do it. All right, let's look at one more thing, and again, it gets happier as we go now. You've heard this parable before, and it's true. In verse 11, the Bible says, the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Folks, we were lost.
Amen.
How many of you were saved as children? You got saved before you were an adult. Okay, quite a few. All the teens here raising their hands, amen. Okay. Some of us got, I got saved as a young boy, 12, 13 years old, something like that. Ornery as I could be. And Christ died for my sins. How many of you got saved as an adult? Christ died for your sins too, amen?
Amen. Thank God.
Praise God you got saved. You can't work your way to heaven. No man can forgive you for your sins. Nobody can hear your confession and forgive you. The Bible says only God can forgive sins. And by the way, the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ died for all your sins. And so when you got saved, that took care of it, didn't it?
Amen.
It doesn't mean you keep sinning. That means you're changed. That means God made you different. So he says in verse 11 that Jesus came to save that which was lost. And then he says to them, how think ye? He says, let's just consider something. That would be a colloquial way to say that. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them disappears, he goes astray. Let me paraphrase. Would he go looking for it? Yeah. You've probably all done that around your house. You know, you've got a whole bunch of something, but one of them's missing. And so you're going to go find that. Yeah, he says, even one is valuable. And then in verse 13, he says, if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. He had 99, but to get that last sheep makes him happier than having those 99. Now, we often hear this story, this parable is what it is, applied to you and I when we got saved. But look how he applies it here. He says, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. What do I do with that, Pastor? Well, let me tell you what you do with that. I'll tell you a story. It's a true story. There is a man that I know, and he went to work with a church, and he wanted to go out and build a bus route. He wanted to go find children and bring them to church. And I'm sorry to report that the pastor said to him, well, we can't build a church on children. You need to go find adults. Shame on that man.
Amen.
Folks, we're not here to build a church. We're here to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll build the church. Amen? If Jesus wants to build a church, he'll build a church. If he doesn't want to build a church, you're not going to do anything about it. You're not here to build a church, Pastor. You're here to reach souls for Christ.
Amen.
And children count.
I
am ecstatic that we have been able to do what we've done in these neighborhoods in the last 4 years. And I don't know that we could keep track anymore. We have seen so many children saved. Vacation Bible school and Sunday school and children's church. And so you have a children's church one day and Miss Marguerite or someone will come to me and say, Pastor, a little girl or a little boy got saved today. That's just as big as if the most rotten sinner in Phoenix walked down that aisle as an adult and got saved. It's just as big. It's bigger. And you say, well, they can't do a whole lot. Don't despise them. Amen? You think little of them. God thinks a lot of them. You say, well, no, they're not as important to the church. Well, they're that important to Jesus, so they ought to be that important to the church. Amen? And we have a church that has reached young people and children in our area, and I want to reach some more. Amen?
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Well, who's going to work the bus route next week? Who's going to teach Sunday school? Who's going to work in the nursery? Oh, they're just babies. No, don't despise them.
Amen?
Amen? You want to serve God? Serve children. You want to serve God and love God? Love children. You want to make Jesus happy and please Jesus? Reach children for Christ.
Amen.
Say, well, but Pastor, they're just not that important. Don't despise them.
Right.
They are important. Amen?
Amen?
It's not a bad Mother's Day message. What are mothers all about? Children. I was watching something the other day, and this policeman was talking about things he has seen, and he said, often, he said, when an adult gets in trouble and he said it's happy. You wouldn't think it would happen at all, but he says quite often they'll ask for their mother. I know in World War II there were men that were wounded, and they were wounded seriously enough that they were going to die, and they'd be asking for their mother. Mothers are important because children are important. Amen?
Amen.
And children are important because God says they are. So yeah, it's a good Mother's Day message. Don't offend them. There's a horrible punishment for that. And don't explain that away. Don't despise them. Don't treat them as if they're unimportant. Don't think of them as if they're unimportant. And don't lose them. They are that lost sheep that the Lord wants to save. Now, what do we do with all this? Sometimes I ask myself the question, I wonder what God wants me to do to please Him. You ever think about that? I hope you think about that. Holiness is important. Amen? We want to live a godly life. And fellowship with God is important. We ought to be in fellowship with Him. We should be reading our Bible and studying it. We should be praying. And one of the things I've enjoyed the very most about this little six-week quarantine we've had is I can come down here to church during the day, and there's nobody here but me, and I can come in here and I can pray as long as I want. And very little pressure. This is what pastoring ought to be, preparing messages and praying. Oh, yeah, there's people, too. I forgot about that. Yeah, and buses and painting. And by the way, if you want to serve God, work in the church. But if you really want to be valuable, work with children. Why do we have a Christian school, Pastor? Because God loves children.
Amen.
Amen? Why do we have a bus route? Because God loves children. Why do we have Sunday school? Because God loves children. If you think about it, those kinds of ministries are the ones most detrimentally affected by this quarantine. Oh, we can't get close to anybody. Yeah, we have to get close to children. Amen? And I hope you understand that how important children are to God. Don't offend them. Don't despise them. Don't lose them. Make sure you reach them for Christ. Had a friend that was a missionary to Brazil, and he talked about how they would reach a community. And he said what they would do is go into the community and begin to work with young people. You know, the nice thing about young people, some of them have not yet been so corrupted by the false teaching of all the false churches and the false ideas. They're still willing to listen. And you've reached a child and you train them right, it protects them against all the lies that the devil's going to tell them when they get older. And this man in Brazil, he said they would go into an area and they would reach the children, and they would literally start a church with just children and teens. And then he said God would begin to bless, adults would get saved. The church would grow. They'd plant churches that way. I know a man in Peru, Awaquepa, I think is the name of the city, and he has an orphanage, and he ministers to children. And then as a result of that, when those children grow up, he has trained them, and they go out, and some of them are pastors. We visited Nelson Dor in Mexico. What's he got? He's got an orphanage. He's got a school. He's got a Bible institute. And Brother Mendez, if we ever go down there, it cost him about $50 in candy, because Brother Mendez taught them the candy ministry and how to get a bunch of children to come around is to have a bag of candy. And we saw a lot of children, didn't we? In fact, we were down there, was that 2 years ago on Children's Day? Yeah, 2 years ago, this month for Children's Day. And they had, 500 people there, and half of them were children, and what a blessing. I don't know how much ice cream they went through that day, but it was a lot of ice cream. Folks, let's remember, God cares greatly for children.
Amen.
He cared greatly for you too, by the way. He sent His child, His Son, Jesus, to die and pay for your sins. Somebody says, well, you know, it's a good thing that I got baptized, or it's a good thing that I joined a church, or it's a good thing that I cleaned my life up. None of that can save you, can it?
Amen.
You know what saves you? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He shed that blood for you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
No church can save you. No priest can save you. No deed can save you.
Right.
Jesus can save you. Amen?